Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Old Testament book of Amos, chapter 5, verses 6, 7, and 10 to 15. Seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, with no one to quench it in Bethel. You who turn justice to wormwood and lay righteousness to rest in the earth. They hate the one who rebukes in the gate, and they abhor the one who speaks uprightly. Therefore, because you tread down the poor and take grain taxes from him, though you have built houses of hewn stone, yet you shall not dwell in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink wine from them. For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins, afflicting the just and taking bribes, diverting the poor from justice at the gate. Therefore the prudent keep silent at that time, for it's an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. So the Lord God of hosts will be with you, as you have spoken. Hate evil, love good, establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. So far as the text. May be seated. In Christ Jesus, whose inheritance is the free gift of eternal life with him in heaven, dear fellow redeemed, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. So wrote Solomon in Proverbs 14, and those words lay the groundwork for this morning's sermon text. The exercise of moral uprightness in both the laws and the actions of a nation are a blessing to that nation, and they'll prosper. But when sin is condoned, openly practiced in the norm of the people and the leaders of the people, there's disgrace and shame and ultimately destruction. Such was the case in the northern kingdom of Israel. How far the nation of Israel had fallen. At one point as a nation, they stretched all the way from the south, way down in the Sinai Peninsula, north to Damascus. When David and Solomon ruled, it was at their heights. They were a powerful, great nation. But already during Solomon's day, there was the beginning of disintegration, because Solomon married so many, many wives who were unbelievers, and they were free to worship their false gods, that idolatry began to filter down among the people. And when Solomon died, his son Rehoboam took over as king, and he ruled the people with an iron rod, increasing taxes, which caused the 10 northern tribes to secede and call themselves Israel. So all he had left over was the 2 southern tribes of Judah. Well, the first king of these 10 northern tribes set the groundwork and the basis for the future of the northern kingdom. King Jeroboam instituted golden calf worship. He built 2 temples, one in Bethel, one in Dan, and said, "People, you don't need to go to Jerusalem. You don't need to go to the Lord's house there," which happened to be in Judah. "You don't need to go there to worship the Lord Jehovah. You can worship here in Bethel and Dan," which is clear against God's word. And since it was against God's word, it was the beginning of the end. They rejected God's word, and the destruction would soon follow. We're now about 200 years after Solomon. Amos lived around 750 B.C. He lived in the southern kingdom of Judah, where he was called by God to go and preach a message to the northern kingdom of Israel. And this is a simple message he used to proclaim. He used to say, "Unless you people turn from your sinful, rebellious, ungodly ways and repent of them, your nation will be destroyed." Well, you can see why his message was not very popular. It wasn't well received. Nor did it seem likely. Because when Amos was making this proclamation, the northern kingdom of Israel was very prosperous. There were many, many wealthy people. The economy was great. The defenses were strong. They were living in peace. But the people had forsaken the Lord. They had forgotten the heritage that God had given to them, that they were the children of God. Spiritually and morally, the people of the northern kingdom of Israel were in a mess. The people worshipped idols. Widespread crime and corruption was in the nation. It was dangerous to live there. The rich and the powerful, upper class, trampled over the poor and the needy. Exorbitant taxes were being charged. There was greed and dishonest dealings among the merchants. The merchants detested these festival days and these feast days because they couldn't have their places of merchandise open during those times. Immorality was rampant and condoned, openly practiced by even the leaders and some of the priests as well. But in his grace, God sent this man, Amos, to call the people to repent, to lead them to see their godless ways, to turn to the Lord. Amos was to warn them that they were losing their heritage. Don't forfeit your heritage, he's saying. Don't give up this heritage of being God's children. And that's our theme this morning. Don't forget your heritage. The first words of Amos in our sermon text this morning are powerful words. Seek the Lord and live. There's three parts to our sermon text. One, turn from your sins. Two, trust in God's mercy. Three, bring forth fruits of faith. In spite of their many, many sins, God was still ready to forgive them. And so he invites the people to turn from their sins, to look to him, and his promises that the Messiah was to come, and they would be forgiven. They would live, not only physically, but also spiritually and eternally. Amos' book, though it's short, is filled with vivid, vivid word pictures. And he has a very vivid word picture in our text, too, when he says, seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, with no one to quench it in Bethel. Unless there was a genuine change in the hearts and lives of the people, the Lord would come through Israel like a fire and destroy it all. As I was reading his words, I thought of those fires we've seen on TV. This year, there's been many, many forest fires throughout the western part of our country. Some of those fires devoured whole neighborhoods of homes. People came back and all they saw was rubble and ashes where their beautiful homes once stood. That's the picture Amos is drawing for these people of Israel. Repent, or your whole nation, your whole kingdom will be turned into rubble and ashes. It's interesting to note that in this section too, he calls them the house of Joseph. That's not used many places. Why did he say the children of Abraham, or the house of Jacob? Well, the descendants of Joseph, the largest portion of these 10 tribes of Israel, Ephraim and Manasseh. So by calling them to remember Joseph, he was trying to compare them to their ancestor. Remember Joseph? How faithful, humble, obedient he was, even when he was thrown into prison and was sold into slavery by his brothers. Remember how kind and compassionate and forgiving he was to his own brothers? Well, his descendants were far from that. They were filled with greed, selfish, godless, proud, arrogant, and disobedient. So Amos is trying to remember Joseph, remember your father, you're the house of Joseph. And Amos minces no words. He lists some of their sins and their actions. You who turn justice to wormwood, that means bitterness, and lay righteousness to rest in the earth. When the courts are corrupt and their judgments aren't good, the people who appeal to the court for justice are left with bitterness. Justice was laid aside. Amos continues, they hate the one who rebukes in the gate. They abhor the one who speaks uprightly. Therefore, because you tread down the poor and take grant grain taxes from him. Though you have built houses of hewn stone, yet you shall not dwell in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink wine from them. For I know your manifold, your many transgressions, and your mighty sins. You afflict the just and take bribes. You divert the poor from justice at the gate. Therefore the prudent keep silent at that time, for it is an evil time. Anyone who tried to defend the poor, anyone who tried to defend righteousness and uprightness, they are ridiculed. They are hated. They are harassed. Blackmail, extortion, threats of violence were the methods used to increase the wealth of the wealthy. Those who were wealthy had stone houses to live in, beautiful vineyards. But Amos says, you won't live in them long. You won't enjoy the vineyards very long. A nation would come who would destroy your country, devour you. Many of you will be killed. The rest will be carried away into captivity, and the land will be laid waste. The Lord clearly reveals in these last words of our text that he sees their manifold, their many transgressions. He knows their, what a word, their mighty, their powerful sins. He is the all-seeing, the all-knowing God who knows and sees all they have thought, said, and done. You can't but read the book of Amos and think of today. How parallel are the times of Israel, the times in our country. We should live in a country that's called a Christian nation, but it's really far from that. So let's look at some parallels here. We see our public school system today is based upon humanism. Man is the measure of all things. From grade school to college universities, they teach godless evolution. 39 years ago, our Supreme Court decided, determined, and then proclaimed that it's completely legal to butcher and kill unborn babies from the time of conception up to the moment they're born. In the last 39 years, over 50 million babies have been legally killed. I read somewhere the other day that in 3 weeks, just in 3 weeks, the number of babies killed would fill the seats of Camp Randall Stadium. The present administration and his political party openly espouses and endorses same-sex marriage, which is contrary to God's word. There's graft and corruption in local, state, federal agencies around our country. Corporations and businesses are filled with greed. Many cases of dishonest dealings and illegal contracts. Merchants have turned their religious festivals into money-making million-dollar times. And no one closes their doors for worship anymore. Immorality is rampant. The porn industry is one of the largest money-making industries in the world today. Adultery, marital affairs, living together outside of marriage, homosexuality, gambling, drunkenness, these actions are not only condoned, they're actually defended and even encouraged. America today is as bad as, if not worse, than Israel of Amos' day. But lest we miss the point of Amos' message and say, look at America, how terrible it is, he's pointing at us. We're part of America. These words will be spoken of every single one of us. Our old Adam loves possessions. Our old Adam loves the pleasures of this world. Immorality, idolatry, greed, dishonesty, gambling, lying, cheating, cursing, ungodly swearing. There's no sin which our nature, simple nature, isn't susceptible to or hasn't led us into. We're guilty of all these sins, either by action or in thought or in words. Where Jesus' warning Very clear. Out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, sexual immorality, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. For that reason, because of our own sinful natures, we need to do the same thing that people of Israel needed to do, and that is repent of our sins. That's why our first two hymns this morning were confession hymns. That's why we confess our sins this morning. To confess our sins and lay them before Jesus Christ, seeking full and free forgiveness. For we too have been given a tremendous inheritance. We are children of God. Imagine what that means. We were conceived and born as children of Satan, under Satan's control, bound in sin and chain and death and unbelief, have been adopted as children of God, chosen by the Father, redeemed by the Son, and brought to living faith through the power of the Holy Spirit. And unless we continue to confess our sins, repent of our sins, lay them upon Jesus Christ, and look to Him alone for forgiveness, life, and salvation, we'll end up just like Israel, losing our inheritance. What a shame that many of the people that Amos talked to didn't listen to him. So instead of following the footsteps of their ancestor Joseph, many of his descendants will never see Joseph in their heavenly home. What about you? Your children? Your grandchildren? Well, if we trust in Jesus Christ and His mercy and teach our children Jesus and all that He has done for them, then we are assured of that heritage being passed on from one generation to the next. Amos clearly told the people, "Seek the Lord and live. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. So the Lord God of hosts will be with you. As you have spoken, hate evil, love good, establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph." What a blessed gospel invitation Amos gives to them. Even though they deserve God's wrath and God's punishment, God would still be with them and forgive them. They turn to Him in repentance. We deserve God's wrath and condemnation, and yet we have been assured of God's forgiveness through Jesus Christ. It is secure, given as a free gift to every single one of us through faith in Christ Jesus. That forgiveness that Jesus earned for us, that everlasting life that He has given us by His perfect life of obedience, His sacrifice upon the cross, and His resurrection from the grave, makes that salvation our own. It is our possession. That means that when we find out that we have fallen for Satan's temptation, we have wandered away in the world's lusts and our own sinful desires, the only place to seek peace and pardon and comfort is in the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, which cleanses us from all of our sins. A pastor once told his confirmation class, "Anywhere you cut the Bible, it bleeds blood red." And that's so true. The more you search the Scriptures, the more you see Christ shed blood for the sins of mankind. That's the theme of this text. That's the theme of all the Scriptures. Christ crucified and risen again for mankind. Man earns and deserves death and damnation, but God instead gives grace and salvation and everlasting life through Christ Jesus. And then with a grateful heart, knowing all that Jesus has done for us, we'll show our thanksgiving, our thankfulness. We'll do as Amos said. We will truly hate evil. We will want to love good, the good that comes from God. In thanksgiving, we'll strive to look out for others, to to meet their needs, to be concerned about them first rather than ourselves. We want to be spending our time and be spent in service to Jesus by telling others about our Savior, the one thing needful, the one thing they need to hear, that they are lost, they are condemned, but through Jesus Christ they have eternal life. And we'll teach our children Christian education in our actions, in our attitudes, and in our words. In the dark, threatening clouds of judgment were just to the horizon in the northern kingdom of Israel. But because they did not listen to Amos, they didn't see them, and they were destroyed. Well, there are dark, threatening clouds of judgment upon our nation and upon this whole world in the horizon. But unfortunately, the majority of the world today, too, does not listen to God's word. Reject God's word. They turn a deaf ear to His word. They don't see the impending judgment. And one wonders, perhaps the past few years of economic distress and all these floods and fires and droughts and hurricanes have been kind of a mini judgment of God upon our nation. We do know that the ultimate final judgment will come not only upon America but upon the whole world. Make no mistake about it, that judgment of God will come upon all people. And the only ones who will be safe, the only ones who will be secure when that judgment comes, are those who are children of God through faith in the shed blood and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Sin provokes wrath. Sin's payment is death. Physical, spiritual, eternal death. And death is a separation. So eternal death is an everlasting separation from God in hell. Only those who seek the Lord in repentant faith will escape the coming judgment. For Jesus Christ, God's own Son, the one who took our place, paid for our punishment, shed His blood, rose from the dead, is the only hope for us and every sinner. So, don't forget your inheritance. Don't forget your children of God. And may we continue to seek the Lord Jesus and live. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our living Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.